Okay, tonight we will continue our Christmas special and take a look at the second gift. Let's take a look at the second gift from God. Get a little time in prayer tomorrow night, but I need the time tonight to set up the second and third gift. So we'll do the second gift tonight. Leah went to the hospital today, and just in a matter of just moments ago, gave birth to a little girl. And at this point, as far as we know, the little girl is, we don't know what they're going to name the little girl. And apparently Leah and Jeff and everybody are doing fine. The baby, mom, dad, everybody's doing fine. But this all apparently happened just in the last 30 minutes or so, yeah. So I'm very happy for Leah and Jeff, and got that done. It's always better to be born after Christmas than before. I was born right after Christmas, and sometimes my birthday presents were a lot better and more because of the sales, you know. You go before Christmas, and you know, but afterwards you can walk in and everybody's getting rid of all the good stuff. I get all kinds of good stuff. Before Christmas is a real bummer. Anytime around Christmas is a bummer, but before Christmas even more so. But hey, you know, baby can't worry about that. Time to come into the world, so. Leah will be in the hospital, I guess, a day or two, however long they keep them now. It's just amazing now. You're going for a heart transplant, and 2 days later they have you out of there, so I don't know how long she'll stay. She and the baby will stay, but she's at the Plano Hospital in Plano, and so you know about that. And I don't know the name, so that's all that I can report, is all that that I know. Also, I want to, for your prayers, let you know, Gary Horton went into the hospital and had an operation, and he's been having a lot of physical problems lately, and the operation just culmination of a lot of things, so need to be in prayer for Gary at this time, and it's a rough time for Gary to have to take time out. And we sent him some flowers and things today from the church and from all of us. And so let you be aware of that. And I don't know any more of the status of Gary at that time. Is he still in the hospital or is he home? If he doesn't what? Yeah. Okay. Well, God sometimes just says, okay, I want you to take care of your body. You don't do it, so he does it for us. And so let's be in prayer for Gary and at this time. Okay. Anything else we just need to bring to mind? Tomorrow night we'll spend a little more time together in prayer. All right, let's begin tonight with a word of prayer and get ready for our study of the Word of God. Let's pray. Prepare ourselves for battle of the study of the Word. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is this evening to take time out in the season of busy schedules to assemble ourselves with each other, Father, for the purpose of worshiping you and studying your word together. And Father, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will cause us to accurately understand as we trust him to illuminate for us the truthfulness of the passages we have before us, that we can be taken, Heavenly Father, into the depths of your word, even in understanding these things in regard to the gifts that you have given to us. Father, I pray that you will protect us in these next few hours from the powers of darkness, that we seek to impede our understanding, correct understanding of your word. Just concentrate Now, our faith reliance on the Holy Spirit to understand the second gift that you have given to us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Sunday we studied the first gift from God. We're going to study seven gifts from God, seven passages where the word gift is used. Everything that we receive from God, of course, is a gift. But there are seven passages that are pertinent to our study that actually talk about gifts in the passages. And we're going to study seven gifts from God. And the first gift from God is His Son. Hallmark Cards has a slogan that when you care to send the best, you send Hallmark. Well, when you care to send the best, you send yourself. And God sent Himself through His Son. And that was the first gift. And it was the first gift really in the order of all things. Because all gifts, everything that we're going to study and everything that we will not study that we receive from God comes through the first gift. And we'll comment more on that as we approach the fifth gift and pull a lot of that together. But tonight we're going to take a look at the second gift. And, of course, you realize that our time for exhaustive study, because I do want to cover it tonight, and then tomorrow night cover the third one, Sunday morning the fourth one, and so forth. And then New Year's Eve we will study the seventh gift. All right, the second gift now. Let's unwrap it. Unwrap the Christmas wrapping. So let's unwrap it at Romans 5. So we'll open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. We will reveal the second gift from God. Romans chapter 5. We would have, if this wasn't the Christmas season, we would be in Romans 5, finishing up our study of the three phases of the plan of God and three things that we receive from God. But here we have, in this passage in chapter 5, the second gift that was in our study. Now, what's interesting is, as I said Sunday, there are seven words for gift, translated gift, in the New Testament. And in this one passage that we're going to look at, we have three different words translated gift here. But in the Greek, they are different words. Now, I think it's seven times it's mentioned, but we have three different words for gift. Now, when you jump into a passage like this, because you never want to go pull something out of context, that's where people get into a great deal of trouble, is when you pull things out of context. So let's understand the gift in its context. And this is a very difficult context. Chapters, Romans, if you recall from our study, Romans 1 through 4. The book of Romans deals with receiving the righteousness of God. And we've been studying this. How can I receive the righteousness of God? And we studied how Romans 1 through 3, or 1 through 4, chapters 1 through 4, deal with receiving the righteousness of God as an unbeliever. They have the religious unbeliever as a Jew, and first of all, we have the heathen, and then we have the religious or Jewish unbeliever. And then chapters 5, the following deal with receiving the righteousness of God as a believer. And as we have noted, the gospel model, the same way that we receive righteousness as an unbeliever is how we're going to receive righteousness as a believer. So that gives you a context of where we're flowing into. Now let's jump right to our passage in the context. We have a contrast so that you'll be able to just read smoothly with me. We have two men that we're going to be talking about. And the first man, we have one man, Adam. And then we have the second Adam. And the second Adam is Jesus Christ. So we have these two men are going to be talked about in our passage. We have a contrast between Adam and Jesus Christ. Christ came as the second Adam, and by that, when the Bible says that, what it means is that as Adam came alive but minus the sin nature, this is the way Christ came into the world. So just so that you can flow with this, because this isn't our purpose to study this difficult passage, our purpose is to look at this gift. But so that you'll understand, now, when Adam sinned, when Adam transgressed, those are two men, and let's come down here. When Adam, here's Adam, when Adam transgressed, and when Adam sinned against God, and as you know, partook of the tree, when Adam sinned, committed his offense, not only did Adam die, but all members of the human race died as an offspring of Adam. So here's Adam, and since we bear the genes of Adam, Adam died internally. The nature of Adam changed and developed the sin nature, and that was passed on to all members. So here's Adam now, and when Adam sinned, transgressed, all members after him transgressed also. So sin followed after Adam. So that's very important to this study. So what we received from Adam was that death, spiritual death, and all members of the human race as offsprings of Adam died. His spiritual death, he was unclean, unrighteous, and all members of the human race as heirs of Adam, born spiritually dead, born unrighteous, and therefore, what is going to happen with that is, what's going to follow is Adam's, this is all in the verse, I'm not wasting time here, I want you to understand the verse, so I don't want to spend time on the verse so much as do on the ideal of the gift. Adam, let's put Adam sin, so here's Adam, and Adam sin, transgressed. Now what is going to follow will be many, many sins. Why? Many transgressions. Because everyone that follows Adam is born spiritually dead. And as a indication, or not indication, but as a result of being spiritually dead, what comes from a spiritually dead person are sins. So with this one sin by Adam, you're going to have following many sins are going to follow Adam. And we all sin, we commit many sins. So Adam transgressed or sinned, and all members of the human race were born spiritually dead, and therefore we sin. So many sins, many transgressions follow the one transgression of the one man, Adam. Now, any problem in understanding that? So if we have the father of the human race here, Adam, and he sins and dies and therefore passes that on. So everyone is born spiritually dead, and because everyone is born spiritually dead, many sins, many transgressions will follow Adam. So that is our context. Now with that in mind, let's jump right to our passage. Verses 15, 16, and 17. We have three different words for gifts. And so let's get to work and find and see what the second gift of Christmas or the second gift from God is. And it starts right out in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. Now, every one of you should know what the transgression is. I just related to you. That's Adam's original sin in the garden. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Now we have the word gift. You'll notice in verse 15 we have it twice. And we have two different Greek words for gift here. And to kind of give you that feel, the translators of the New American Standard translates the first one, free gift, and the second one near the end of the verse as simply gift. But the free gift. All right, let's take a look at that one. Let's see what word we have. But the free gift. All right, the free gift is the word charisma. Here's our word. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma. This is translated. This is the first gift that we have, or the first mention of it, translated here. And they translate it free gift. And it's a gift of grace. This, of course, charisma. You can see charis. That's the word grace. And so we have charisma, or a grace gift. Undeserved benefit. Benefit is the emphasis here. I want you to notice, let me slow down, because if we're talking about a gift, don't forget all of those things that we saw Sunday morning in regard to gift. I don't want to go back over those. Here's a gift, Now, in this gift, what is important is, it's taken from the root of grace, but what is important here is the benefit. Here is the emphasis of this word. Remember, with the seven different words for gift in the Word of God, in the Greek, each one has its own nuance, its own emphasis. They all mean a gift, but they have a different emphasis, a different thrust, a slight little different thrust to it. Now, charisma, while it does come from grace, the word here emphasizes the benefit, is the emphasis here. I want you to notice, you can do this without knowing Greek, I want you to notice the suffix. The suffix is just M-A. Right here is the suffix of this word. Charis is the word grace. We have M-A suffix put on it. That tells you something. That's a little flag. And what that M-A indicates is the emphasis of the result. This emphasizes, I just put E-N-T-H, this emphasizes the result of whatever word that it might be attached to. So what you got here is an emphasis on the result of this grace gift. In the New Testament, it's used only of gifts of grace that we have imparted to us from God. Now, in reference to the first gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, what was our word? Our word was dorea. And you remember, here's our word, D-O-R-E-A. Now, dorea, this was what we studied in John 4, where it talked about the gift of God is His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what was the emphasis here? The emphasis here was the gratuitous nature of the gift. In other words, that it was given graciously, given freely, given undeserved. That was the emphasis of the gift of Jesus Christ. Here, the emphasis is on the grace benefit. What is emphasized here is the result or the benefit of this gift. So that's the slight little nuance we want to put. Now, so that you will understand, because we have just one night to open up this gift and to enjoy it, then tomorrow night we'll take the third gift. What is the gift referred to here? That's what we want to find out. What is the gift? So you open up something and you go, well, what is it? And that's always kind of embarrassing to the person who gave it to you, but I have to explain the gift that they gave. But what is the gift that is referred to here? All we have here is that it refers here is that it's something about it. And what does it say here about this gift? It is not like the transgression. Whatever this gift is, it's not like the transgression. Then at the end of this verse, we have another characteristic at the end of verse 15. The gift abounds to the many. See, it says, and the gift abounds to the many. So we know two things about the gift, whatever it is. We know, one, it is not like the transgression of Adam in the garden. And two, it abounds to the many. So we're starting to think, okay, whatever this gift is, it's not like the transgression that Adam did. And that sin, what did Adam sin do? It went to everybody. It what? It killed everybody. It put everybody into spiritual death. But whatever this gift is, it abounds to the many. So it's unlike it. Then it's twice more in verse 16. Twice more in verse 16. Look. And the gift. Still we don't know what it is. And the gift is not like that which came through the one man who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, here it is again, the free gift, whatever it is, we still don't know, arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. So again, we have a reference, but not identification. Now look at verse 17, because it's identified in verse 17. And in verse 17, we have or open our second gift. For, if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. What's the second gift? First gift, Jesus Christ. Second gift, and essential in order, is the gift of righteousness. By that I mean, this, you have to open this gift, and then you have to open the first gift. The first gift is Jesus Christ. And then now you're ready to open the second gift, and that gift is the gift of righteousness. Sometimes people will say, no, don't open that one first, open this one first. What they're giving you is something you probably got to put together. And if you opened up this, it would kind of ruin everything. Here's a, you'd open it up and it'd be a stick. That's the leg or whatever it might be. So they don't want you to open that first. They want you to open the top of the table or whatever it may be, because that's going to be what you'll notice. So the first thing we opened Sunday morning was we opened the gift and saw the gift of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, we're ready for the next. And now we have the gift of God's righteousness. And here it states that it is a gift. So, the second gift, the gift of righteousness. Now remember in the book of Romans, what's the issue in the book of Romans? And the issue in the book of Romans is, let's put it on the board, the issue in the book of Romans is God's perfect righteousness. And the issue for us in the book of Romans, how do I receive the righteousness of God as an unbeliever, and how do I receive the righteousness of God as a believer? Well, the first thing we're going to learn tonight is this. It is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. So right now we can start off just knowing something from understanding the nature of a gift. That means I don't have to work for it. I can't work for it. It's a gift given. There's nothing I can do to earn it. It's not given on the basis of anything that I do. That's not the way God gives. This is given by grace. So, it's a gift. So, we're not going to have to work for it just by the fact that it's called a gift. And Paul's making it very clear. There's a pattern. And that pattern is how you receive the righteousness as an unbeliever, chapters 1 through 4. It's how you're going to receive the righteousness as a believer, chapter 5 and following. He establishes the pattern. And the unbeliever is going to receive this righteousness of God, this gift, by faith. And that's going to be the pattern for the unbeliever. So we're going to receive this gift in the only way that we can receive a gift from God, and that is not by merit, but by faith. So righteousness is a gift from God, a free gift. Now, let me give you a principle. People, don't let anyone take this free gift away from you. Don't let anyone take the free gift and tell you you have to do something for it. It is so important to our God that you and I understand this is a gift. You don't have to work for it. Paul in Romans chapter 5 says, don't go back under the yoke of slavery. The same thing that we're seeing here. Don't let anyone take this free gift away from you. Don't let anyone tell you you have to do anything, say anything, that it depends on you in some way. Repentance, confession, changing your life, anything. No, don't let them do that to you. Don't do that. Don't go, Romans, Galatians 5, don't go back under the yoke of slavery. And here, don't let them take this gift away from you. This is a gift. Righteousness is a gift from God. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a free gift, graciously bestowed on us. You don't have to be good, moral. You don't have to obey, confess, repent. Then it would no longer be a free gift from God. It would no matter how you want to protest him, we can go to this book and we find out if it's not of faith, it's not of grace. There's no way you're going to get around that. So don't let anyone take this gift away from you. As an unbeliever believer, don't let them say, no, it really isn't a gift. It's a gift, but you got to work for it. Then it's not a gift. It's wage. We saw that in Romans. It's a wage. I earned it. You earn a gift? Yeah. This is for being wonderful. This is for doing all you've done. Then it's not a gift. It's not a gift. This is something you don't earn or deserve. Here is this gift that you and I have. It amazes how many people, I guess they don't hear themselves. Or somehow or another they have deceived themselves. Oh, it's a gift. It's a gracious gift. It's given by grace. But we have to do something for it. Then the Bible says that's not a gift. That's wages. You've earned it. So we have to do. We have to obey. We have to say in order to receive it. It's no longer a gift. It's no longer a free, gracious gift if we have to do something. Now remember, let's take a look just so you'll see this. So that's Romans 4:4. Just turn the page back. Look at verse 4. Now to the one who works, man doing anything, his wage is not reckoned as grace, but what is due? If I do this, then I'm due something. But that's the way this thing is set up. If I don't do it, then I don't get it. That's what works is. And then look at verse 16, chapter 4. Verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith. Receiving righteousness is by faith. That it might be in accordance with grace. If it's not by faith, then it's not in accordance with grace, people. And don't let anyone take this wonderful gift away from us. Now we know what the second gift is. It is the free, gracious gift of God's righteousness. Okay, now we're ready. Let's go back to verse 15. Let's see how all of this flows together. Verse 15. But the free gift. Now, the free gift is what? We know from verse 17, it's God's righteousness. God's righteousness is a free gift. You don't work for it. You cannot receive this gift of righteousness by something that you do or don't do, some way that you live, the history of the Roman church, history of the Pharisees is a history of hurting people, judging people, to try to prove their own state of righteousness, their own purity. You don't have to hurt anybody for this righteousness. You don't have to judge anyone for this righteousness. It is freely given. It is yours. You don't have to hurt anyone. You don't have to do those things. This is a free gift from God. Okay, but the free gift. Now let's see if we can just flow through this and without getting too involved here. But the free gift, and that's charisma, is not like the transgression. Now, here we have it with the definite article, which specifies or identifies the transgression. Now, what is that? That's why I gave you that little introduction. This is refers to Adam's original sin. So, a free gift. Let's follow Paul's thought now. We have Adam's transgression, and we have a gift. And the gift is not like the transgression. So, so that we're following along, we have a free gift here. We have a charisma. We have a free gift. And we have Adam's transgression. Now, with Adam's transgression or Adam's sin, what we're studying now is the free gift is not like this transgression. Okay, that's an interesting thing to even bring up. Here's a gift and it's not like the transgression. Why would Paul bring that together in this way? So let's find out what he means now in our study. So how is the gift not like the transgression is what we want to know. How is the gift not like the offense? All right, let's take a look. 4. If by the transgression of one, that's Adam, the many died. Now, the many refers to all members of the human race after Adam, and the death is spiritual. So it's a reference to the spiritual death of all members of the human race is as Adam of Adam's sin. So, as I pointed out by way of introduction, here's Adam. Adam sinned. And Adam died spiritually. So here's Adam. He is spiritually dead. And there's a sin nature, the old sin nature. Now, all of the offspring of Adam, every member of the human race, right down to you and me, here we are down here. Now, all of us have died. That's what we have in our context. For the transgression of the one, the many died. All members of the human race died, and that death is spiritually because of this one transgression of Adam. All right, let's take a look now. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, the many members of the human race died spiritual death, much more, one of the most beautiful words in the phrases in the Word of God, much more did the grace of God and the gift. And I love the phrase, much more. It means God's work. Much more did the grace of God, and we could spend a great deal of time on the grace, but let's move to the gift. Did the grace of God and the gift. Just to be sure that you don't miss it, the righteousness of God here is called the grace of God, and it's called a gift. And we have another word for gift. First time in verse 15, it was charisma, translated free gift. Now we have the second word in this context, and this word is, first time we had it, it was charisma, C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Now we have the same word that we saw Sunday, doria, D-O-R-E-A. That's the same word that we saw Sunday. So the second time you have the word gift in your text, it's doria. Same word that we saw with the first gift. And what's the first gift? Jesus Christ. The gift of God is Jesus Christ. Now, what's doria? Doria emphasizes the graciousness, the gratuitous nature of a gift, that it is given without stream. So this one emphasizes the result, the benefit that you're going to derive from it. This one emphasizes that it is given without cost. It is given freely. It is given with no strings attached, as we saw Sunday. So just as Jesus Christ was given, so is the gift of righteousness. So righteousness picks up both of these. We're going to emphasize the result of it, but it is also just a free gift given. It is there. It is there for the taking, and the only way we can take it, as we noted Sunday, is by faith. So far, this gift then of God is called a gracious gift, with the benefit being emphasized. It is called simply a gift, with the fact that it is graciously given to all members of the human race. Okay, by the grace of the one man, for if the transgression of one Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift, that's the righteousness that's given to us, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one, grace repeated again, all through here. It rolls, it reaps, it melts off of us. Righteousness is by grace. It's a gift. As an unbeliever, and then we'll see it later in our study, as a believer. People, don't let anybody change it on you. It doesn't change. This is the way God works with it. So, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Now, here is the importance of the first Christmas gift. Right here is the importance. It says, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. We study the gift of Jesus Christ. Why is it the importance of that first gift? Because it is through the first gift, and that first gift is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is by this first gift that all the other gifts are going to be given. All the other gifts are going to have their basis through this man right here, the first gift that we study, based on his Son. The grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in contrast to Adam, abound to the many. All right, the principle. The gracious gift is offered or given to the many. Now, let's see if we can kind of flow with what's happening. Because of Adam's sin, what happened? Death. Death was given to the many. Now what we have is, because of this gift that is given graciously to the person of Christ, this is going to be given to the many. So that's how we're dealing with both of these gifts. All right, so here is what the verse looks like. We have the transgression and the gift are different. Let's know why. The transgression by Adam led to or was followed by the spiritual death of all members of the human race. The transgression, they are different. But you know what he says now, that they are not the same. They're different. And the way that they're different is the transgression by Adam led to or was followed by the spiritual death of all members of the human race. But the free gift by God abounds to the many. In verse 16, Paul gives us another difference between Adam's offense and God's grace. Let's take a look. Verse 16. And the gift. So again, he starts it out with gift. Verse 15 starts out, but the free gift. Verse 16, and the gift. The emphasis here is the gift. And the gift. And would you believe it? We have yet another word, our third word, for gift. We've already had charisma, and we've had doria. Now we have do-re-ma. Now watch this. Here's what we have. Do-re-ma. That's D-O-R, long E, M-A. Now those of you that are thinking with me, note that M-A ending. We have that M-A just as we had with charisma, C-H-A-R-I-S-T-M-A, charisma, M-A. And what did we saw something about it there? Here we see it again, do-re-ma. We have that same ending. Now the root of this word means to give. But notice the suffix again, the same suffix we had with charisma, and this emphasizes the result. The result of God giving this gift. So the root word means to give a gift, and add to that now with the result in mind. There is a result in the mind in giving this gift. This gift is given for a specific result in mind. And the gift of God's righteousness and the gift, that's the gift of God's righteousness to man, is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Now here we have a continued contrast between the gift and the transgression. Now let's read it. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. Whoa! Without going any further, just so you don't miss it, I'm here for you to understand this. Okay? We have one sin, and because of one sin, we have a multitude. We have many sins or transgressions. Many sins or transgressions. The one sin brought this about. Now, what we have here is all of these transgressions brought about this gracious gift from God. And this is the only way we're going to be able to solve the sin problem. This gift has a purpose in mind, has a result in mind. All right, this time the word in verse in our passage, this translated free gift, is, if you look at the end of the verse here, the end of verse 16, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. This word for free gift at the end of verse 16 is the same as at the beginning of verse 15. It's the word charisma. Charisma, which emphasizes again the graciousness of the gift and the result of the gift. All right, let's see if we can find out where we are with our gift and find out how wonderful this gift is. We have Adam's. Here's Adam's sin. Now, Adam's sin, Adam's transgression, bringing about this result in divine judgment. Adam's sin results in divine judgment. Resulting in what? Resulting in condemnation. Now, there is our status. Adam's sin, divine judgment, condemnation to everybody. That's the setup of the flow. Now, the free gift, in contrast, here is our free gift that we're going to receive from God, and the free gift is going to bring about justification. This is what our passage says. So let's take a look at it before you see it. On the one hand, the judgment arose from the one transgression. Now, if you look up here, there's a judgment from the one transgression, resulting in condemnation, condemnation of the entire human race. But on the other hand, the free gift, this is the free gift of the righteousness, imputed righteousness. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions resulting in justification. Why does it say from the many transgressions? Because of the many transgressions, this is the only way that this can be given, and that's why it's going to be given as a gift. Adam sinned, then many sinned, followed by judgment, resulting in condemnation. So Adam's sin, let's take a look at how they contrast. I just want to be sure that you can see what's going on here. We have Adam's sin, and therefore All after. Boom, let's start this way. All after Adam dead, spiritually dead, and therefore many sins. We sin because of our spiritual death. Many sins. That's the way it flows. Now, we have the gift. Here's the sin. We have the gift, this gracious gift, that is given of imputed righteousness, and it takes care of all of those sins before, all of those sins afterward are taken care of by this gift. Now, verse 17. We have a gift to find now. So if by the transgression of the one, this is Adam's original sin, death reigned through the one, death here is spiritual death. Now, I want to pause a moment to show you that word reign. People, there is nothing you and I can do about it. When you and I are unbelievers over here, we are spiritually dead. And there's not a thing we can do. And what reigns, what rules, what guides, what determines, whatever word fits your vocabulary, what determines the decisions that you and I make is our sin nature, our flesh nature. We have no choice. It rules. It reigns. It reigns in our life. I have no choice. Even when I, as an unbeliever, don't want to do things, I still am going to do them. Why? Because the sin nature that I received from Adam in the flesh nature, it rules, it guides, it determines everything I do. It is going to rule over me. So look at that word rule. Very important to study, as we'll see. It reigns. It reigns in life of all unbelievers. But what? It also overhears when you and I, as born-again believers, positionally righteous, but when we sin, where are we? We are spiritually dead. And when we are spiritually dead temporally, not eternally, but when we're spiritually dead, what reigns? What reigns inside of us is the flesh. The sin nature again. It rules again. It reigns. It determines the decisions we're going to make. So this is very important in understanding this. So, for if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one. And it reigns by that sin nature. Now, any time a person thinks that they can do or say something to receive the righteousness of God and come out from under this death, we must remember we're dead. We're dead spiritually. And the only thing that can come from a spiritually dead person as an unbeliever or a believer is death. There's nothing I can do to make myself righteous. There's nothing that I can do that will effect righteousness in me. I'm hopeless and I'm helpless as an unbeliever and as a believer. As a believer in sin, I am spiritually dead, temporally. And the flesh rules. It reigns inside of me. There's nothing that we can do. Now, there's one thing that God has set up, and that is faith. Because faith is non-meritorious on both sides. This is the only option I have to come out from under this and receive the righteousness of God through His Son. It's a gift. He's got a gift. He gives this righteousness over here. It's a gift. And the only way you receive it is by faith. Over here, I'm dead in sin. I want that perfect righteousness. I want to live a righteous life. How am I going to live a righteous life? It's a free gift. It's a gift of God. And the only way you and I can receive this grace gift of God is by our faith. The death is spiritual death. True of the unbeliever, true of the believer. This is what Paul is setting up. And so let's take a look. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death, spiritual death, reigned through the one, much more, there's that much more again, a very beautiful principle, much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Okay, those who receive the abundance of grace. How do we receive the abundance of grace? By faith. This is the only way. That's why we read Romans 4:16. It has to be by faith that it might be compatible with what? Grace. The only way you might receive grace is by faith. So the only way we can receive this is what Paul is teaching, that the way the believer, the unbeliever, and the way the believer receives it is the same as by faith. Here, those who receive the abundance of grace. Now, what does that refer to? Let's look at our passage. What is it referring to? Those who receive the abundance of grace. People, this refers to what we've been studying, Salvation 1. Verse 17, first of all, is building a model. And to receive this grace, and receiving this grace is Salvation 1, or redemptive salvation, or the salvation that we receive by faith in Christ at the cross. That's what he's referring to at this point. That is Salvation 1, our redemptive salvation. All right, let's look at our passage. For if by the transgression of the one, spiritual death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace at the unbeliever at the cross, becoming a believer, and of the gift of righteousness. Now, the word for gift here is the same word that we had in verse 15, doria, with the emphasis on the graciousness of its giving. So it's a free gift. Don't ever forget it. Paul does it. That's why he changes the word. It changes it, enriches it, so that we'll know what gift we're talking about. Now, most essential point in verse 17 is the rest of verse 17, where Paul is now going to state the whole issue of receiving God's righteousness as a model established at our redemptive salvation. All right, see the first part here in verse 17. It refers to the imputation of righteousness by faith in Christ at the cross. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace, salvation at the cross, and of the gift of righteousness, their salvation at the cross, will reign. Now what's going to reign? Who's reigning? Contextually, who's reigning here? Those who receive God's gracious gift. Let's take a look at the verse. Look at verse 17 with me. Those who receive this gift will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. That is a reference that when it says through life, in life, that's a reference to our life as believers. That is a reference to yours and my life as born-again believers, or what we call salvation too, God's deliverance in time. This reigns to your life, in your life as a born-again believer. And it's done the very same way. First, Jesus Christ is a free gift. Secondly, God's righteousness is a free gift. It is a free gift given to you. It is a free gift given to me. And you and I can have that in our life. Here we are as unbelievers, as the model in our Romans passage. The model is that of an unbeliever. And we receive this righteousness as a free gift given to us by God, with three different words used. Now, as we have it here, it can reign, just as death reigned here, it can reign over here throughout your whole life. How can it reign? If you and I continue to walk by faith. Now, I want to close tonight with this wonderful free gift that we have of God's righteousness and its place. Look at Philippians 1 with me a moment as we close this out, because it's so important to understand the free nature of God's righteousness. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Now we have the righteousness given to us as unbelievers, but we have the principle of a living righteousness. And this is what we want. See, we have imputed righteousness. That's a free gift. We have living righteousness. That's a free gift. These are both free gifts. You can't earn, deserve, or produce yourself this righteousness. It is a free gift. And there are a lot of passages. Galatians 5 is a very important passage on living a righteous life. We want to live a righteous life. I want to live a righteous life. You want to live a righteous life. We have the sin nature that seeks to rule, and always seeks to rule. But we want to live a righteous life before God. So how? How am I going to live this righteous life? The same way that you and I receive this righteousness here, it's how we're going to receive it here. Beautiful passage, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's take a look. And this I pray. Hear Paul's prayer for those he teaches. And as I was studying this, became my prayer in regard to those of you in our assembly. And exactly what Paul is going to pray for them, exactly what I'm going to pray for us. Look what he says. Now here's his prayer. That your love. Now here's my prayer for you in 1996. Here's my prayer for you. That you learn lots of doctrine, that you do a lot of great things, that you are prospered by God. No. It's not my prayer. It's a great guide for a pastor's prayer. Look what he says. I pray that your love. All right, what love is this? It goes right to the heart. Here's his prayer. Paul's prayer is in regard to their love. Now, this love is what we're studying as spiritual love. Spiritual love is loving as Christ loved. This is a love. How do you and I get this love? Do we manufacture this love? No. We know that I can't love like Christ loved. This love comes to us by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. When we are walking by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, He pours this love in us. So that your love. So He's praying in regard to their walking by faith. But He wants the greatest expression of that faith. And the greatest expression of that faith is love, right? That your love may abound still more and more. I was studying this and got very personal about it. Your love is bound in 95. There's not a shadow of a doubt. We entered this year in a battle. And what was a great test was spiritual love. And your love is clearly demonstrated in the spiritual warfare to have manifested itself. But look what he says. May abound still more and more. So, love, what is love now that we study? Love is a spiritual force. And you recall, as a spiritual force, one of the primary characteristics of a force is what? Magnitude. A force has magnitude. That's the measurability of it. And this can increase. It can always increase. It can always increase your life. And so my prayer for you, even though I think, well, we've manifested enough. No, we haven't. It has abounded, but what Paul is praying may abound still more. I know you've been through suffering. I know you've been through difficulty. I know that you've given. The church of Philippi were great givers, but it can abound more. And that's what he's talking about here. May abound still more and more. Now, note the next phrase. In real knowledge. Real knowledge? Knowledge? What is he relating it to? Not just knowing the Word of God, people, but having the Word of God become real. We've been studying how it's the Holy Spirit who illuminates the Word of God. It's not just simply a matter of knowing God's Word. It's a matter of correctly understanding it. There are those who will read this book and they see works. There are people who read this book and they see grace and faith and God. This is real knowledge. And so he says, in real knowledge, knowing it accurately. What did we study in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? It is our faith in God the Holy Spirit, not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of the Spirit to accurately understand the mystery. It demands that we have faith in the Spirit for the understanding of the mystery in real knowledge. And then note the next phrase. And all discernment. Now I want you to notice, don't lose the sentence context. Love abounds in discernment. What that means is it makes decisions that are compatible with love. Compatible with the concept, love never fails. What did James say? James said in his book, your faith is dead. How do we know that? Somebody says, you can't tell me my faith is dead. You don't know whether or not I'm walking by faith. Okay, I don't know if you're walking by faith, but if you are, your faith is dead. Why? Because I know the manifestation of it. And the manifestation of it would not be showing partiality right here in the assembly. So I know you're not walking by faith. You see, people, when you make decisions, know what he says now. In all discernment, love will manifest itself in the decisions that you make. And one can look and see, is your discernment based on love, or is your discernment based on something else? Do you believe that love will never fail? Or do you believe, no, I have to execute God's justice and righteousness. I have to do this. I have to do that. Or do you believe what I have to do is to love one another as Christ loved me? Do I really believe that or not? Do we trust it in that sense? Now verse 15, so that. But if you see those kind of phrases, so that, now you're into what's the whole purpose here. See, when you see something like so that, when you see those kind of statements in the Word of God, it lets you know that the previous isn't the goal in and of itself. That love may abound more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, that isn't the final goal. So let's take a look. So that, why Paul desires their love to abound more and more in real knowledge, that's knowledge that is illuminated by the Spirit, and in all discernment, decisions made that are compatible with love, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. How am I going to approve the things that are excellent? By knowing more doctrine, that's how. The more doctrine you know, the more you're going to be able to discern or have more excellence here. That you may approve the things that are excellent, learn more doctrine and you'll be able to. That is not what the Word of God says. What God says, if you love as Christ loved, is what the Word of God says. You have to decide whether you believe that or not. I'm no longer fooled that people sitting listening get up and walk out believing what has just been taught. No, I don't believe this verse. I believe it. Take out the love and take out the discernment. It's just that knowledge. Note the knowledge is related to the love. Note the discernment is related to love. The love abounds, people. Then when that love abounds, you may approve the things that are excellent. Excellent things are things that are known and approved by spiritual love. Next year we're going to start back on spiritual love. We left off with love does not act unbecomingly. We have a whole lot more to study. Love bears all things. Love rejoices not in iniquity. We have so many things to understand about love in God's Word. And the more that you and I understand about love, the more you and I will understand about those things of excellence. The more that you and I will understand those things that are compatible with things that God has given to us. Well, I'd like to elaborate, but let's move on. Verse 10. And we have it again. We have another in order of that. Look. So that. Boom. You want your love to abound in real knowledge, all discernment, so that you may approve. Now, that isn't even the goal. In order that, to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Now, notice your desire to be blameless. If you desire to be blameless, people, there's a pastor that will come and stand on this pulpit and tell you, and I mean many, I don't have anybody in mind. There are many pastors that tell you in their books and in their teaching and in all their stuff, what you have to do to be blameless is to obey and live a very righteous life, live a moral life, and abstain from all of this, and don't do this, and do this, and learn this, and all of that, and that's how you do it. The Word of God says love. You can read it. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. Read the Word of God. In order that, to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. People, if you do love, if you let His love abound in and through you, you will be blameless. This is what the Word of God teaches. And now we come to verse 11, the powerful verse. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is the gift of God. That righteousness. Principle, if you, pardon the way I'm going to word this, if you do love, if you love as Christ loved, you will do righteousness. Paul does not say anywhere, this is reiterated by the way in Galatians, if you do love, you will be righteous. Paul does not say if you do righteousness, you do love. People that try to do righteousness never get to love. Their love turns and becomes the love of themselves. But if you and I will love as Christ loved, you will do righteousness. If you love, you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Now, how? And why? Why, if I do love, am I going to be filled with the fruit of righteousness? Because, people, let's take a look. Your righteousness, what do we already know? We know that this righteousness is a free gift from God. We also know that the only way we can receive this free gift is by our faith. Okay, now, if we are loving, if we do spiritual love, then what this means is we're walking by faith, God the Holy Spirit, and He pours in spiritual love into our soul. And because of that faith, and because of the manifestation of that spiritual love, we are also going to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. People, they're not in conflict. A lot of people want to put righteousness and justice in conflict with His love. They're not in conflict. The cross resolved that. Don't think they're in conflict. This is why the righteousness is a free gift. It's not something you and I have to earn or deserve. It's freely given. Here it is. Will you trust me? If you trust me, I'll give you this gift. You don't have to do it. It's yours. Boom. As an unbeliever, as a believer. If I want the fruit of that righteousness inside of us, then what happens? I've got to do that love. I have to love as Jesus Christ loved me. You want to glorify God? Note the last phrase. In verse 11, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I love this phrase. God gives the gift of Jesus Christ. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gives us God's love through our relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of that, it glorifies God the Father. It's just a beautiful circle of the Trinity. It's a beautiful circle. It's perfect the way He laid it out. And what's our part in this circle? Our faith, our trust in Him. And He pours in the love produces the fruit of the righteousness, the self glorifies God through the person of Jesus Christ. You want to glorify God the Father? By His power accessed by your faith, love as the Son loved you, and you will have the seeds of righteousness through Christ, which will glorify God the Father. Boom. So, we have now two wonderful gifts. We have the gift of Jesus Christ, and added to that now, we have the gift of righteousness through Him. Now we're ready for the third. We're ready for the third gift where the Word is actually used in our study. And we'll do that tomorrow night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift that you have given to us. There is no way, Father, we know that we could earn or deserve these gifts from you. Let us be mindful of the concept of gifts as we enter into this season of gift giving and gift receiving. Be oriented, Heavenly Father, to the gift that you have given to us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.